Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. David James comes to discuss with me the issue of same-sex sexual relationships. Many Christians today believe that homosexual activity in the church is okay, and they even believe that it is biblical. David and I will discuss here at the broadcast table on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing why the Bible rejects same-sex sexual relations among Christians. It's a big issue today. Stay tuned for this conversation. David will come to the broadcast table in a moment, but let me remind you that my website, prophecytoday.com, is the location where you need to go and look at current events in light of biblical prophecy. On the home page, I give the top 10 news stories each and every day, and then I give you a prophetic perspective on those news stories. You also need to remember we have the Prophecy Bookstore, a number of items in the store, teaching tools that will assist you in your study of Bible prophecy. I even have a prophecy Q&A section. You can go there and get your prophecy question answered. And if you cannot find your question being answered, send me an email at jimmy@prophecytoday.com. We'll send you back an answer. That's all on my internet site at prophecytoday.com. We now bring to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation. Well, David, over the past several days, you brought several articles to my attention about a disturbing trend that we're seeing within evangelicalism. What can you tell us about this overall trend in general?
Among all Christians of all denominations combined, there was an increase of acceptance of homosexuality as a lifestyle from 44% in 2007 to 54% in 2014, and that represents roughly a 23% increase in just 7 years. But although the actual numbers are fewer for those who accept gay marriage, the percentage increase is actually dramatically higher. It was at 36% in 2014, which makes it up from 26%, making it a full 38% higher. So it's being accepted at a higher rate among evangelicals. Another survey that came out last year showed a dramatic generational shift concerning views towards same-sex marriage. For example, among evangelicals aged 54 to 90, about 26% favor same-sex marriage, which I personally still think represents a serious problem for the church. But when it comes to those under 54 years old, a full 47% are saying they're okay with gay marriage. These are troubling statistics, and the trend is not in the right direction.
That is absolute. David, let's get into the article that you sent me about a recent training event at Redeemer Church in Manhattan. That's New York City, of course, where Tim Keller is the pastor. Can you give us some background information on Keller and the church, and maybe some of what was discussed that concerned you the most?
Sure. Well, this comes from an article published last week by Pen and Pulpit and carried the title, Tim Keller's Redeemer Church Calls for More Same-Sex Intimacy in Churches. For those not familiar with Tim Keller, he's the 69-year-old retired pastor of that church in Manhattan, a church that has over 5,000 in attendance on a Sunday morning. And in some circles, he's well-known as a theologian, an apologist, and as a best-selling author. And he's also one of the co-founders of the Gospel Coalition, along with D.A. Carson, another well-known theologian. And the mission of the Gospel Coalition is to encourage and educate quote-unquote current and next-generation Christian leaders by advocating gospel-centered principles and practices. Now, the author of this article may have had a bit of an axe to grind with Keller when he says the following concerning the Gospel Coalition. It's a political organization which aims to move evangelicals away from their biblical and conservative moorings. Now, that's certainly not the stated goal, but that's this author's take on it. And yet he seems to have some valid concerns when he suggests that apparently a message is being pushed by some that the inclination towards same-sex attraction is possibly inborn and came upon them from their early years. And some say that the same-sex attraction crowd and that these attractions are a cross that God gives some believers to carry and are not sinful in and of themselves. So that's troubling. And if this is true, this is especially ironic since Tim Keller's church has a history of being theologically conservative to the point that back in 1998, the New York Times ran an article discussing the church's conservative stance against homosexuality and women as ministers. And, you know, a concern would be that if an organization like the Gospel Coalition has accounts among its heavy hitters and popular teachers, men like Al Mohler, Kevin DeYoung, John Piper, Erwin Lutzer, and others, if they start to question these things concerning the most foundational scriptural teachings, then this could represent a seismic shift within conservative evangelicalism, or we could be heading that way.
David, you also sent me an article about a podcast that was featuring three Dallas Theological Seminary professors. They were having a roundtable discussion concerning gender confusion. And this had us concerned about what is happening at DTS. But as I understand it, when you researched this further, you found that DTS had been somewhat misrepresented.
That's right. You know, I'm sure our listeners know that we put a lot of time and effort into researching the topics we discuss each week, and it's always a challenge even to stay within our time constraints. And it can also be a challenge when we have close relationships with a particular ministry that we might discuss, and this week is no different because of that recent roundtable discussion that you mentioned at Dallas Theological Seminary. And it came to my attention through this same outlet that I got the other article from, and that's Pulpit and Pen, and it carried the title, "Dallas Seminary Profs Say Transgenderism is Given by God." And these three professors were Daryl Bach, who's a senior professor of New Testament at DTS, Gary Barnes, who's a professor of counseling and a licensed psychologist, and Tim Yoder, who is an associate professor of systematic theology. Now, this article by Pen and Pulpit only contained about 4 minutes out of a full 59-minute discussion by these three DTS professors. So in prep for today, I read the transcript of the entire discussion, and boy, I'm glad I took time to do that. In his opening remarks, Dr. Bach said, "We are continuing our discussion on gender dysphoria and understanding and ministering to people who are of mixed gender background." But as it turns out, these professors were simply trying to think through issues related to ministering to that very tiny minority of people who genuinely struggle with gender identity due to physiological and psychological anomalies that can cause gender lines to be blurred sometimes for physiological reasons. And they clearly attributed these problems to the long-term effects of the fall, just as our congenital birth defects and various diseases. And they also made it very clear that acting upon desires outside the moral norms found in the Word of God would be sinful choices and are not legitimate options open to believers. So bottom line, in my opinion, is that the Pulpit and Pen article was nothing more than an inaccurate hit piece aimed at taking down and giving a bad reputation to Dallas Seminary in an area that was not warranted. So I'm glad I did my homework deeper on this, and it's a warning to others who would engage in this kind of thing to do your research, make sure you get it right.
And I'm so glad you did that extra research as well, and what a great exhortation to all of us who may be coming to an understanding of how these trends are troubling in the body of Christ in evangelicalism. Several years ago, David, a young man named Matthew Vines wrote a book entitled God and the Gay Christian. he attempted in the book to show that the Bible actually supports same-sex relationship. And that book, along with many more young people openly embracing a gay lifestyle, seems to have had at least some impact, especially upon young people.
I think that's true. That book came out in 2014, and I've spoken about it all over the world, actually, as one of the sections of my course on current theological issues. And as sort of a follow-up to the book, he and a lesbian friend of his produced a video in which they supposedly give 7 Bible-based reasons for same-sex relationships. And let me just note a couple of them to show how off the wall they are. Their main argument was that since some same-sex couples get treated badly by Christians and it's harmful to them, this is bad fruit and is therefore evidence that God is okay with homosexuality. I call this "you hurt my feelings" defense. It's crazy. They also try to argue that the complete destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19 wasn't primarily about homosexual behavior, even though the text of Genesis, as well as commentary in 2 Peter and Jude, contradict this. It says it's very clearly a sexual problem. They also try to argue that the term homosexual wasn't even invented in English until the 1800s, but the English word is irrelevant since the Greek word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 6 is arsenokoites, which means a man who has sexual relations with another man. So every one of their arguments just fall apart, and the Bible very clearly teaches against homosexual behavior.
Well, let me bring up this as we conclude our conversation. A recent major study came out of the United Kingdom a couple of months ago, which seems to have closed the door on the debate concerning the existence of a gay gene, which is what we would expect biblically, correct?
That's right, and it's hard to believe, but it was actually reported on the PBS, a website, at the end of August, and was based on findings released on the sciencemag.org website. And this was a study involving almost 500,000 participants. And while previous studies have suggested some sort of genetic component in human sexual orientation, this study failed to show anything pointing to underlying genetic causes, at least anything specific. And they said there are just too many variables that affect a wide range of behavior and not just sexuality. And biblically, this is what we'd expect. The fall has had far-reaching effects on our physiology and our psychology, and as a result, we're prone to a wide range of sinful behavior, from lying to cheating to stealing to rebellion and to sexual sins of all kinds. And the only solution for any of these behavioral problems is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again.
You must be born again. That is absolute. David, a great conversation. You did great research. I'm glad you did that great research and then exhorted all of us to do that same type of research as well, especially on a subject like this. We need to stay on top of what is happening as it relates to this trend in the church today. Well, thank you so much. Have a safe trip back. We'll talk to you.
I look forward to it, Jimmy. Thank you.
Very important discussion with David James today. You may want to go back and re-listen to what we had to say on the issue. You know, today in the church, there is a conflict going on over the issue of same-sex sexual relations. This issue is also in the political arena as well. There's one presidential candidate who is a man married to another man, and they say they're both Christians. In fact, this candidate invokes his so-called Christianity into his campaign activities as well. However, more serious than that is the debate of this issue going on in the church today. A serious study of the literal Word of God reveals that God does not approve of same-sex sexual relations among true Bible-believing born-again Christians. Genesis chapter 19 reveals what the Lord did to a community of sodomites. Romans chapter 1 says that the Lord says of people involved in homosexual activity, those people he has turned over to reprobate minds. That's Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.